welcome to the Affairs of the Heart podcast. My name is Dwayne DQ. And
so Debonair, Aaron on this podcast.
And it's episode number
eight.
Whose mother did what? But what's up, everybody? How was your week?
My week has been really interesting. To all say
these,
the least.
These interesting. All of these eventful situations. You care to share? You want to tell everybody what's going on?
I think I'm just like really processing getting into the flow of a relationship.
So, let me put this disclaimer out here. This is another episode where we decided not to share what we were going to talk about before we pressed the play button. So, go ahead. Continue. Let me tell y'all something. I know my friend. Yeah. I know my friend. And Aaron is my friend. And I know. And so, as soon as Aaron was like, it's been an eventful day. I said, all right, well, here we go.
Well, I mean, that wasn't why I was eventful, but yeah. So, you know, with this new relationship, it comes with informing people.
Yes, I saw you. Now, this I am aware of. I did see your exchange on Twitter.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
About someone not being too happy about you. Finding, you know, somebody to be consistent. And are we going to talk about it later or you want to talk about it now?
We can talk about it now.
So I think it's really interesting, and I had to deal with this too, where it was kind of like people want to keep you at bay.
Why am I getting so much backlash?
You're single. They want to keep you at bay, and it's kind of like, okay, I know you're over there. I can fool with you when I want to, but I'm not really trying to be anything serious. Right. When all the while you've been holding up signs and waving flags like, I'm serious.
I had a t-shirt serious. That said, I'm single as fuck.
Well,
no. Yes, bitch.
No stiff bitch.
No, none of that.
Shake bitch.
What?
Right, you know, like, I want to be serious. And what happens is that while you're single, you're doing single shit.
Yeah.
And you have every right to because you're single.
Yeah.
But then the minute that you find that somebody, number one, decides to step up and want to commit and do something serious, and it's mutual, the feeling's mutual, so then you decide to put all of your attention over here. So then everybody gets mad because they were the ones that didn't want to be, you know, commit, didn't want to be serious, didn't want to just want to see how things flow, just want, you know, and they get pissed off because they missed their shot. Yeah. Well, you had your opportunity.
And I think maybe because of the podcast or just maybe my social media period, you know, most of my conversation is about sex. So I feel like people were interested in that, not really noticing that I may have been. Well, I don't know, because I always thought I'd be in a relationship though.
Yeah, like I don't think that you do one more side than the other. I think it was the, you know, what I just said, where people decided that they were not trying to be honest about how they felt about you.
Yeah.
And they just wanted to, you know, fool around with you or play around with you. And that's fine. It has its place. But you can't get pissed off just because somebody decided to step their game up and be a man with some balls and come and talk to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think I always say, like, you got to be direct with me. Like, you can't be beating around the bush for months on months on months on months and taking it slow. And, you know, you got to be up front with me. And, I mean, that's just what happens. So.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, just getting it back into the groove of this. I was telling him that, I think yesterday, I said it's so odd because by now I would have found something that I didn't like and like sabotaged the fuck out of this.
Well,
and
yeah, that is actually, you know, I talk about, you know, Thomas quite often on the show. I don't mention his name, so that's the first time you've heard that, but. It was the same thing. We laugh about it now because I was a little conniving,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, I know how to see if he's gonna get on my nerves. So I'm gonna find, you know, I'm gonna find something I don't like. Mm-hmm. We're gonna go away on a little vacation, just a little mini weekend, little situation. And I'm sure because this is usually the test that people don't pass for me. They get on my nerves.
Yeah.
And if you get on my nerves, I'm like, all right, I'm good. And we went out of town together. First and foremost, the trip actually happened. Because I've tried to plan trips with people I've been dating, you know, seriously or whatever, and it never comes to fruition. Mm-hmm. But we actually went out of town, spent 4 days together, went to amusement parks, had like a great time, came back, and I was like, yo, this dude didn't get on my nerves. Oh, we might have something serious going on.
Yeah. I think he's always here, so it's like, without the vacation. But I mean, the test for me is always my friend. And yeah. How will you survive in that jungle? And I feel like that was his friends and not mine when he came, you know, hung out with us the other day. So I'm like, I guess I'm going to have to keep him.
Don't sound so down about it, friend.
I'm not saying like it's a bad thing, but it's like, I never really get to this part. You know what I mean?
It's a sweet spot.
Yeah,
and if it is done correctly and nurtured correctly, it's a really nice place.
Yeah,
it's a very comfortable space, and you can build very, you know, emotionally, mentally, physically, financially. You can build off of that space because it's a solid foundation. If that makes sense, this is not the mask. This is not you know the facade.
Well, and I think that's the other thing that I kind of really appreciate about it is like we have had the toughest conversations already. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And like, even if we think we're feeling some certain type of way, like we'll have a really tough conversation.
Yeah.
And it's not something that like has to linger on. Like even if he sees something that looks off, mm-hmm. he'll be like, what's wrong? And I'm like, nothing. And you know, I will go back and forth for about 3 or 4 times.
6.5 hours later.
He's like, no, something's wrong. You don't look the same, or you're not sounding the same. And I think it's just those things to me that is really like keeping me engaged in it.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate it.
So. Well, that's somebody that has your best interest at heart and that truly cares about you.
Yeah.
If they can look at you and see that your demeanor has changed in the last 24 hours.
Yeah.
Right. You know, I have my days where as entrepreneurs, and I'm quite sure you go through this too, but I'm discovering this for the first time where it's kind of like, some days I'm like, I just don't feel like I'm doing enough. I don't feel like my business is doing what I really want it to do. What am I gaining from this? Am I over my head? Like all of those types of feelings that come about. And there are days where he's like, it's okay. You know, we're going to get past it. You know, you're going to be able to do all of your wildest dreams, you know, encouraging me in that aspect. So I totally understand, but kudos to you, friend. I'm happy for you. And to all you motherfuckers who want to try to sabotage it because you want to see his freak Twitter pages, fuck y'all. Okay?
Yeah, did you see that? That was the part. That was the first message on there. It was like, what happened to those other pages? I'm like, they're gone.
All right, so what's our next conversation for the week?
Well, I mean, I just had something in my hand. I can think of what it is now.
Oh.
What?
Oh, no. It's like, oh, okay. Well, while you think on it, make sure you guys, if you're not following us, make sure you follow us on all social media platforms. We are the Affairs of Heart Podcast, and you can find us at theaffairsoftheheartpodcast.com for all of your podcast platforms to stream on. We've got merch. Check out some of our t-shirts. And check us out on Thursday nights at 8 o'clock for our live podcast show on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter.
I'm just going to go with something right here because I can't
think of what it is. I was trying to give you some time.
it's like right at the tip of my tongue, but I can't get it out. So let's go with, could you date someone that's never had a boyfriend, or would that set off a red flag to you?
No, I mean, I could date somebody who's never had a boyfriend. Obviously, we all had to start somewhere, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, I was talking to one of my little brothers the other day, and he's dating a guy, but he's never had a boyfriend before. He's like, I don't want to be the first this and the first that. And I'm like, that might be the best thing because he doesn't really have any expectations.
Well, somebody had to be the first for you.
Right.
You know, I think that is such, you know, kind of one of the most amazing aspects about relationships. I think I dwell on, and I've talked about it a lot on the podcast, I dwell on, you know, my very first relationship a lot because I was so in and so green, And what I mean by that is I wasn't jaded. I didn't have any, you know, any scars or any emotional issues as it pertains to how people treated me or did me. I was just in love with the person that I, you know, I was in a relationship with.
Yeah, we talk about it all the time.
Well, okay. Shit.
Yeah. I'm married to Nick. So, but yeah, I mean, like I told him, I was just like, you know, that may be the best way, especially for him, because he's so picky. And I'm like, if you're his first boyfriend, he's probably like all the way in.
And he has no choice but to be.
Yeah, I'm like, so he's like, well, I don't want to be his first heartbreak if it doesn't work out. I'm like, let that shit go.
Somebody had to be.
Yeah, you gotta let that shit go, because I'm telling you now, if I could find somebody who ain't never had no man before, I would have been okay with it. But he might be super my fan and, you know, do everything. I want to be in love out of this world kind of thing.
So. Yeah.
So our next one is going to be couples and social media accounts. Would you consider having a
couples account?
Couples account, yes.
I have thought about this because there are a couple of couples who are kind of like Black gay men spokespeople, mm-hmm. because they have joint accounts together, and you know, they, all of their accounts include either if they have children or them, you know, as a couple, etc. I've thought about it. I'm just personally, I'm someone that does not feel like that has to be displayed. Mm-hmm. I don't need to put this on social media because it's some things, and I think I've said this before as well. You have to have some mysterious aspect about yourself. Everybody in this social media day and age, everybody does not need to know everything that transpires or goes on in your life. That's my personal opinion. So I don't think that it's necessary.
Yeah, I don't think I could do it. I would feel like it's a control mechanism.
Yeah, but some people can. I think it's great that we do have representation, because representation is important.
Well, I learned in Ohio, well, my aunt was telling me in Ohio that that's also a sign for people who swing.
In the gay community?
She didn't say. She just said that her friend told her that. Well, she's heard a lot that if you see couples accounts, that's a signal for other swingers to think that you swing.
I don't know nothing about that.
I'm like, in the gay community, you can have your account, their other account. I mean, you could anybody's
swing,
account.
You could swing either way, regardless. Like,
I could be talking to you from my aunt's account. We swing.
Right. You know, I'm going to Atlantic Station to go to a movie and I'm swinging. Like, what? That's new.
Yeah, well, she was like, I don't think that's right. She was like, no, I've heard this more. I think maybe that's your age bracket. She said, no, that's from your age bracket. I'm like, I don't got no answer for you. Like,
first of all, why are you talking to somebody from my age bracket?
Right.
You know what? It's funny you mentioned that. If we're going to talk about swingers for just a moment, I as I've mentioned before on the podcast, I listened to Kevin Hart's Laugh Out Loud Radio on Sirius XM mm-hmm. in my car all the time, because I find that he just rotates different comedians. And sometimes it's hilarious as hell. But Quake, the comedian Quake, Earthquake, he has his own show, and they were just talking about Will and Jada mm-hmm. on his show on my way over here. And it was about the fact that, you know, somebody on his panel decided that they were swingers. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, this whole August Alcina thing was just a part of their swinging situation. And, I mean, I don't think... To me, I don't think that it is common, or well, I'm not gonna say common. I don't think it's uncommon for people these days to be swingers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think open relationships are pretty much
same thing.
Yeah, the same thing at this point.
But we also live in Atlanta, so if you're listening to this in the backwoods of Kentucky, then I'm quite sure you were disturbed.
Well, yeah, probably. That might be true. Okay, so my next topic is, where's it at? I just seen what I wanted to ask you and I forgot.
You want to look for what I got one?
Yeah.
All right. So I personally posted this on Twitter, mm-hmm. and I want to get your thoughts behind it. You know, I don't post often, so you probably saw it. But I said, I'm a cisgendered gay male mm-hmm. who finds all trans men to be so damn sexy. Mm-hmm. Do you think that there's a space for people in our community who believe that or think that or agree with my statement?
With cis?
So, okay, let me break it down.
Yeah.
Cisgendered men are...
I know what it is.
Yeah, yeah. But for those that may not, cisgender okay. men are just men who are born with male genitalia and identify as a male mm-hmm. And pronouns of he, him, and his. So I am, for all intents and purposes, a cisgender male who find trans men to be very attractive.
I find them to be attractive as well. I just... Visually, I don't want to explore past what they look like.
I'm laughing because I recall that you don't want no parts of what no. is going on now.
They look amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, they look better than some of the cis men.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, I mean, outside of that.
That's it. I think in a greater scope of a conversation, also this week, I was... Andrew Gillum mm-hmm. decided that he wanted to verbally profess that he was bisexual. And I think from the posts that I've seen on social media as it pertains to people having opinions about his bisexuality, you know, there are other spectrums of sexuality in our community that do exist. I don't know why people think it either has to be one way or the other or what they accept.
Well, I just think it's because bisexual has always been the scapegoat. You know, or people who've gotten caught. And so it's been...
That's a good point.
Yeah, so it's been a tough conversation since then because, you know, we were trying to be heterosexuals. And then when they found out that you may have done something with a man, you're like, well, at least I'm bisexual because being gay is just not, you know, the idea thing for a lot of people in their families. And so because he got caught instead of just came out as being bisexual, I think that's why people are having a big issue with trying to determine... Is this realistic or is he just this the transitioning point before you hit gay?
Yeah. Interesting. I don't think that's a good point. I don't think I looked at it from that perspective. But then I do know his wife was very on board, even with the fact that they have three children and she was fully aware and yada, yada, yada.
But I also saw them saying that she may be bisexual as well. So
could be. She might be a little more open-minded because she's explored as well.
Yeah.
But I think that goes back to my statement in regards to the fact that I think we as, you know, black LGBTQIA plus community and the straight community just kind of have to open our minds a little bit more to realize that there are other people that are a part of the spectrum. There are asexual people who are not attracted to either sex that yeah. just... exists. There are, you know, you just have to kind of open your mind to that aspect.
I think with his case too, it's kind of confusing as well because of him getting caught and everything that was involved with him getting caught.
It was so much.
I mean, it sounds like a gay sex party. Like, there's no bisexual people in there to me.
And it's not even a, I mean, obviously... For the sake of the conversation, it's a white gay sex party. This ain't even something that we. this is a rave or you know something that you know we know that. Now, granted, I'm not saying that there isn't a black community, a portion of the community that participates in such, but mm-hmm. this is clearly behavior of somebody who is.
It's frequently with men, like
yeah.
That's why I think that it's so confusing, and why people really are. Struggling with, you know, this bisexual thing because, again, it's not someone just coming out saying, hey, I'm bisexual. Mm-hmm. You got caught in the most extreme setting.
It's almost like you wanted to get caught. Like you set up all these traps.
Right.
So we could take all these pictures and so that people could see finally. You know what I mean?
Right, but like, I'm bisexual. And we all look at you like...
Girl.
Come on all the way out this closet.
So, Robbie, so you're coming out the closet, right? You're going to make an announcement. Okay, you say you gay. Okay, we waiting on the announcement. Is that the announcement? Because for us, it was like, are you coming out? Not yet. Every now and then. Are you ready? Oh, okay. Well, let us know when you come out, okay? Oh, you made an announcement? Oh, okay. Dang. Because it wasn't locked. We've been in this, though.
Yeah, that's what it's like, and it's just like... It's unnecessary in 2020 to be doing this.
You know, we think so.
Well, yeah.
But unfortunately, there are still people that, you know.
Well, then because he's running for some kind of office.
Well,
too.
He was. I don't know if he still is.
Well,
is
I think that's why he came out as bisexual, because he's still trying to save a little bit of face. If he's not really bisexual, because I don't really know. But I'm saying if he is, I think that's why he did it, because being gay and running is going to be a bigger fight for him.
I could, yeah. I can understand that. Shout out to Tamara Hall. I do love her and her ability to interview. So when that interview, the interview comes out, the season premiere of her show, which I believe is in a few days. So make sure you check that out and see. We want to hear your thoughts, Heartbeats, what you think about this Andrew Gillum and anything else we've talked about.
Hey, don't forget the hashtag ALTH podcast.
That's it.
When
okay,
you're
what you
those
got
conversations. Excuse me. Also, this was the topic I wanted to do. When you're dating, is it important for you to do weekly or monthly reassurance talks and open discussions?
You know what? You know why I'm laughing? Because... Wow. What happens is Aaron doesn't text me as a friend. He tries to bring them into conversations of the podcast to make me think we're not talking about him.
So that was what I thought it was funny.
And you could have did
now
it.
See,
so
I get it wrong.
You never apologized.
No, this is stuff I saw on Facebook. Seriously, this is not my personal.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to answer the question for that listener.
See, I emoji and stuff. No, I didn't write that.
I personally do think it's important, and I only think it's important because I am experiencing it now. Like, we check in, you know, every couple of weeks, maybe every couple of months even, where, you know, I just want to make sure, one of the things I learned in my past in terms of relationships is that I'm not in this by myself.
Right.
And I think it's extremely important to check the pulse, if you will, of your relationship. Is your pulse faint, or is it, you know, is it beating strong? You know, do we need to have a conversation about maybe a skipped pulse that happened over the course of the last month or two? You know, we often revisit conversations that we have or situations that we've experienced. And I'll go back and I'll ask him, you know, how did you feel about that? Mm-hmm. Or what did you think about that? Are you okay with that? All right, how do you feel about this? You know, just to gauge, because I never want there to be any animosity towards either one of us.
Right.
For not addressing things that might have lingered or made each other feel a certain type of way. Okay. That's it? You ain't got nothing to say about it?
I mean,
you
know, I haven't gotten that far yet, so.
Stay tuned.
We'll probably have it here before I have it back.
Okay. Got it. I'm going to ask you how it's going, and then you're going to have the conversation after you build up the courage.
When I saw the question, I was like, that's pretty cool.
And it's mature.
Yeah, after a while, I feel like I might get annoyed from it, because it's like, I mean, really, we're going to keep doing this like every month? Like, well, can we just have it when we feel?
Yeah.
We may be feeling some certain type of way. In the beginning, maybe I could see it being like a monthly or, you know, weekly thing or whatever, just to kind of check the temperature of how things are going. But I think for me, I would start getting irritated. Be like, okay, it's the first. The rent's due. Like,
I don't think it's that extreme, right? Like, for us, we don't have that. We'll have it every couple of months.
Okay.
And normally, I'll initiate it because I just want to make sure that he's not uncomfortable or doesn't feel any certain type of way about something that might have transpired. Maybe I said something wrong, or maybe I said something that made him uncomfortable, etc. Because I know that I have a mouth sometimes. So,
yeah.
It doesn't have to be a scheduled date every month for us to have this conversation.
We haven't really had like our first disagreement yet.
Okay.
So I'm kind of interested into seeing how that's going to play out. Just, I want to get it over with, honestly.
I think it's interesting that you're anticipating it. Mm-hmm. I've always thought that that's interesting. When people anticipate the negative.
Because it's going to happen. You cannot escape the fact that it's not going to happen.
I mean, you know, honestly, it may or may not. You know, you both may be mature enough mm-hmm. not to get to a space where you have got on each other's nerves to the point where you're arguing or fussing about something that, you know, or disagreeing about something. And it's really all in how you handle the disagreement.
Right.
You know, can we be civilized and sit across the table from each other and say, hey, I didn't particularly care for this.
Well, I'm not really talking about an argument. I'm just talking about a disagreement, period. Yeah, at any level of how it's going to look like.
Yeah, whether it's an argument or not, or just a disagreement, or you agree to disagree.
Yeah.
You know, you control that narrative.
Yeah.
Right?
I think that for me, I want to keep it at like a level 1 to 3 because I just feel like with him being from New Orleans and in my mouth, how explosive that could be.
I mean, these are all assumptions, mm-hmm. number one. Number two, I think that where you're from and your mouth, those are facts. But the assumptions, because you were about to say, no, my mouth is a fact. I think how the outcome would play out is an assumption, right?
Yeah.
You would think that, you know, it would go one way when it could completely go somewhere totally different.
Yeah.
And the goal, I think, from learning from your past is not to make it what it was before for you, right? Mm-hmm. You know, the things that you've experienced in your past and how arguments or disagreements went is totally different from the person that you are now, number one, and how you've matured and understood, you know, your place and your position in the situation. So I think it's going to happen differently than you anticipate. I think that you both are mature enough to be able to have the conversations, agree to disagree, and move on. Put your socks on and watch Girlfriends. I don't, you know.
So we've been doing.
I walked it out. I was like, okay, all right.
What's funny is, like, you know, we talk about this on the podcast, like, all the time. And now that it's on Netflix, it's like a reality, right? But it's funny because, like, when we're watching it, he knows more of the words than I know.
He's really in love with you. Like, y'all, he's in. If you can recite Girlfriends to Aaron, forget about it.
And I ain't talking about, like, 1, 2, or 3 seasons. We're going through the whole 8 seasons.
No.
So it's like, you know, I'm just kind of in another world at this point. I have my socks on.
Yeah. Feet touching. It's hot. Don't touch me. But you can put your feet over here and let Joan and the girls tell you what's going on.
That's what we've been doing. It's been amazing.
What else you got?
The next stuff that I wanted to talk about was, you know, we talk about love languages a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, I keep getting stuck with this one love language. What is it?
You asking me?
You know what it is. I talk about this all the time, and I hate it.
It's either words of affirmation.
It's words of affirmation. Okay. But so,
what's the problem?
This isn't a problem this time.
Okay.
I don't feel like it's forced. Like, I feel like I'm saying things that are not authentic.
So are you changing your perspective as it pertains to what words of affirmation are?
Yeah, like, I mean, honestly, like, it just, like, I think, I feel like I said I love you a million times a day. And just like when we were asleep, I think last night, he's like, you just got to about your sleep saying, I love you, babe. And I'm like, what's up?
And how do you feel about that, Aaron?
I feel like I'm grateful to God that he's blessed me to be able to speak words of affirmation. What? Okay,
wait a minute. This just turned into like a testimonial service where he decided he just wanted to tell God thank you.
I don't think I've been, I don't think I've authentically spoke words of affirmation to anyone.
Okay, that's honest.
So the fact that I can do it and I'm like doing it in my sleep means I really mean this shit.
That's honest. Okay, I'll take that.
So sorry to those guys before this one.
I hate to say it. I hope I don't sound ridiculous. I don't know who this man is. I mean, he could be walking down the street. I wouldn't know a thing.
I think it honestly, again, I think it goes back to what we were talking about at the beginning of the podcast. Like, if you really have decent intentions to be with somebody, tell them. Don't string them along.
Yeah.
Don't try to keep them in your little safe space, because somebody's going to come along and take them right out of there.
Well, you know what, for me, though, I don't think that I knew this could be a feeling in the beginning of a relationship.
Well, you've never had it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, when I'm dating someone, it's never been something where I'm like, you know what, I really feel like this is, I really feel this relationship, or the feelings that I feel going into it. And it hasn't been this easy. It's like, oh yeah, you know, I'm doing what I'm doing. He's doing what he's doing. We meet up, we have dinner or whatever, but it's never been like a connection like this to the dating, you know, the dating part. So now that I know this, you know, if this doesn't work,
you know,
I know what it's for.
Yeah, which is what we've been saying all along.
Yeah.
But I mean, some things you just have to experience for yourself, which is totally understandable. In the same vein, I wanna talk about and toss out there, a huge congratulations to our sister friend of the show, Niecy Nash, for marrying Jessica Bates. And her People interview that she did recently, she, you know, people are like, oh, Niecy's come out of the closet, she's come out. And she was like, no, I haven't come out of anything. I have followed my heart, and this person is the person who has captured my heart at this time. Which I think is very interesting.
Yeah. Okay, come on.
What? tell me what your thoughts are.
I just don't like that, because it's almost like I saw something where she said she didn't come out.
Yeah.
She just loved who she loved, the people that she loved before that. She loved them.
Yeah.
And now she loves, you know, this woman or whatever. But it takes away from the fact that there are younger people that are coming up behind her who may, you know, even with her, to me, I feel like she came out the right way as bisexual, right? If she's bisexual.
Whatever it is.
But yes. This is the way. It's not like, oh, I got caught up with some scandal shit. Now,
oh, of course.
I'm this, you know
of
what I'm saying?
Of course. Yes.
I feel like that, but I also just want her to embrace the fact that she's a part of the community, I guess.
I don't think that she... Now, I hate to say this, but I hate to say this. But, you know, okay, I'm going to tell you why I hate to say this. Because people tell me all the time, ooh, you famous. I'm not famous. I know famous people. I'm just not famous. Now, Niecy is a friend of ours and a friend of the show and a friend to me. And in my interactions with her, I don't think that she was ever not a fan or a ally of the community.
Well, I'm not saying she's not an ally or a fan.
But I say that to say that even if that opens up the door for her to be bisexual, you know, if we need to put a label on it, bisexual, right, or trisexual or whatever, however you want to call it, I don't ever think that the thought never really crossed anybody's mind, because we've seen her married with children.
Right.
Right. And I think that that kind of opens a door for women who are of a certain age that say, you know what, why can't I love who I want to love right now? You know, I've had these, I went along with societal, you know, guidelines for so long. Now my kids are grown and out the house. Maybe it's time for me to get my groove back. And maybe Stephanie might be the person I need to get my groove back with.
But it also feels like the double standard when it comes to women coming out versus men.
Well okay, let me, so.
And this has been a big conversation online, so.
Okay, this is great.
Okay.
I think, but see, here's the thing. Men, like, if
I come out as scandal, she comes out married.
Exactly. You see what I'm saying? Like, men do it differently. You know, I'm not going to tell you until I absolutely have to tell you.
Right.
Whereas, you know, men should say, well, you know, okay, yeah, it didn't work out. My marriage failed. And I know I'm attracted to this dude. Let me just be with this dude. Like, what?
But it's still not, it's still different because if Niecy Nash decides to marry a man after this, let's say this doesn't work, mm-hmm. and she goes back to a man, no one's going to be saying, girl, you can't go flip flopping, you can't go back and forth. She's going to, they're not going to consider her bisexual. We'll probably forget she even married this woman.
Nobody's going to ever forget that. That's number one.
I'm trying to tell you, Dwayne.
But
they're going to, it's not going to be a big deal if she goes back to men after this. But let a man
do that. I agree with you. I agree with you in that aspect. Unfortunately, society is in a state where, you know, it's easier for women to explore their sexuality than it is for men.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you know, like we just said, if Niecy was a male actor, you know, who decided that after his two marriages, if, you know, were not successful and you still love them, however, you're attracted to this man, you know, how do you deal with that publicly? Mm-hmm. You know, how do you handle that publicly? And I think it would just take somebody brave like Niecy to be able to extend that experience. You know, it's going to take someone that's not afraid to be open in all, you know, sexual aspects within the community to say, you know what, I am attracted to men too. I think, what is his name? There's a singer that everybody loves. He's a very attractive guy. But recently, he just came out as bisexual as well.
Oh, I know what he's talking about. He's on Twitter.
Yeah.
It's like a blue tint on all his pictures or something.
He's a very attractive young man, but, you know
what you're talking
even
about.
In that aspect, he's come out as...
But it wasn't a big scandal with that either. Though.
Exactly. He's come out at, but we haven't seen him with anybody either. So that's the other
aspect. Yeah, that's true too.
You know what I mean?
But I think he has OnlyFans or something too, though.
Does he?
If I'm not mistaken.
Because he can really, really sing. And he's very attractive.
Yeah, like he's extremely attractive.
If I can figure out what his name is in the course of this podcast, I'll let you know. Two news.
I want to say it's like, is it Christian something? Mm. Yeah, Christian. Is this the guy you're talking about?
No, but okay.
Yeah, he's bisexual. I mean, and his videos, he's a singer too, though.
I'm trying to think of what the dude's name is because he's very handsome. Anyhow. I just think that we should get to a space where we get past, you know, labels for black men.
But I guess now that we did kind of compare the two, because even with this guy, like, I mean, he has a verified account and everything, but it wasn't a big deal. Even, I mean, honestly, was it really a big deal when Frank Ocean came out?
No. No, I think, you know what it does? I'm going to tell you what it does for me in my mind. The community automatically, like, rallies around. Because you're already fantasizing about these particular people, right? I'm quite sure, now, I think I can speak for lesbians, not having been one. Mm-hmm. That they looked at Niecy's ass and her titties and her shape and was like, damn, she's fine. And if I could just ever get the chance, yada, yada, yada. And then now she's married to a woman and people are like, I could have had my, you know, like it could have been that opportunity. I think we do that. We idolize, you know, celebrities in that aspect. And then when we do find out that they're allies or they are a part of the community, then you're like, ooh, well, I could possibly have my chance, you know.
Right. Dang, I had something else I want. Oh, so speaking of, you know, TV shows, whatever, because I saw you did your live about Lovecraft
Country, right? Country, yes. Country, right. If you're not, but I need to plug it. If you're not watching Lovecraft Country on HBO, you are missing out. And I absolutely mean it. It is an amazing show. Okay, go ahead.
So what's the actor's name that played that did the gay scene this week? Is it Michael something?
Oh, Michael K. Williams?
Yeah.
Yes.
So there was a debate online today about why he hasn't received really any flack from that, but the guy who played the P-Valley that is doing...
Lil Murda,
yeah. Okay. Why he's getting a lot of flack, but the other guy from Lovecraft
Country
isn't getting any flack.
I think it's interesting. If you're not watching either one of these shows, you are under a rock. Please, please, please take the opportunity to binge watch P-Valley now because the show is over for the first season. And we're at the halfway point of Lovecraft Country. And what we're talking about, both of these shows have had very explicit gay sex.
Yeah.
One in particular is between someone who is not out in the community and is kind of like a thug in the community. He's a rapper. He's, you know, he's this persona of a hard, you know, rapper, and he's attracted to this non-gender conforming pronouns female, using pronouns female, male for all intents and purposes.
I'm glad you have to describe that because I would have never got that.
So he's attracted to this non-gender conforming female because she uses feminine pronouns, but for all intents and purposes, she's a male to understand the paint a picture of the characters. And they're having a sexual relationship. Whereas in Lovecraft Country, the father of the main character has been suspected of being gay. And it was confirmed in this last episode where he violently, in my opinion...
That was some rough sex.
Yeah, he had a very rough but very passionate and intimate sexual encounter with another character on the show, both in which used spit.
Which y'all know I love that on the podcast.
And did you watch Lovecraft Country?
Yeah, I watched
that. Okay, so that was like a big ass.
When I saw that, I had to rewind it. I'm like, are they fucking? Oh my God.
That was like a big ass wad of spit.
Yes, it was, but that's the right amount. That's what you did.
Oh,
I was God. Like, you better know how to get in there.
I watched it because I couldn't. So they both come on Sunday nights. It comes on Sunday nights on HBO and Starz. Starz has P-Valley.
Well, P-Valley's over. Has,
yes, it's over, but you can stream it and binge watch it. But they come on Sunday nights. So I had to choose what I was going to watch on Sundays and then watch
really
the
didn't
next
have
show.
To because P-Valley you could watch on Saturday if you watch it on demand.
Yes. Well, both of them also do come on early on their apps. Mm-hmm. If you have the apps or demand apps, you can watch them. They do release the episodes early, so you can watch them. However, it would be too much for my mind.
I didn't even want to know what time P-Valley came on because I was going to watch it on demand, and I would watch Lovecraft County, Country, whatever it is, on Sunday.
I had to pause it after the
season. I have to go back and rewatch from the beginning because it's like. I'm a person where I like to like text and stuff while I'm watching TV. But you can't do that with that show.
No.
Because
no.
I'm like, first of all, there was monsters that popped out on the first episode.
Yes.
Then the second one, they was in a basement with the ghosts and shit.
Yes.
And then I'm like, wait a minute now. Does any of this connect?
Yes.
See, that they're fucking men on the stats. But I'm like, okay, I gotta go back.
Yeah.
Because I missed something.
Yeah. There you have to, with Lovecraft Country in particularly, you have to listen to everything that's being said because what's being said correlates with what's happening in the story. Mm-hmm. Right? It's set in the 50s, maybe? Maybe late 40s, early 50s, where segregation was huge, and you are in kind of this world of, you know, dealing with people and dealing with segregation and dealing with the supernatural and some things that are happening outside of that as well. So
I'm going to tell you, I had to go back for this one many of times because I knew that the black lady was turning into the white lady. But I wasn't understanding what was going on. I'm like, wait a minute now.
Yeah.
But then one of the episodes before that, she was talking to that black girl that worked there. So I'm like, this is why I got to go back.
Yes.
This is why I really need to go back.
Yeah, like you need to seriously like take a moment, be clear thought, and like watch the whole thing through. She, you know, and her intention, she's an amazing British actress.
Mm-hmm.
Her intentions were she wanted to work in this department store, but because she was black... You know, she thought that she could never, she's applied numerous times, she said in a couple of episodes, and she walks in the department store and there's a black girl, but there's a thin black girl who looks like she could pass for white in terms of how she dresses and her demeanor, but for all intents and purposes, she's a dark skinned black girl.
Yeah.
And so, you know, she's furious and she ends up, we don't want to give away the episode,
I don't know what the ending
but she ends up finding a way. to work this out. So please, if you are, this is good TV. If you're not watching anything right now, you need something to watch.
It's such a good break from reality TV.
Yes.
Honestly, it really is.
Yes, it is. So
I'm so mad that P-Valley is over already.
It's okay. They're going to start shooting season two very soon.
I need Pose to come on or something.
Pose is going to resume shooting, I believe, next month.
Okay.
I did read that. Pose is resuming the shooting for season three next month. Because they started shooting prior to COVID and had to stop mid-shooting. So
now, I did see online a lot of people were saying the reason why Little Murder got a little more
little flat. Nigga.
More flat.
I'm sorry. That was your original question. Go ahead.
Yes. I did see that he got more flack because there's two different audiences watching this.
Yes.
And I was like, you know what? That probably is what it is because, you know, my social media is a very mixed crowd of people. There's a lot of heterosexuals on there. And
really?
Then there's all of us. Yeah, because, like, you know, I was doing radio stuff when I first started that Facebook page.
Okay.
So a lot of them, when I see them, I'm like, y'all watching this? They're like, yeah, well, you know, we your friends, huh?
You know what's interesting? I did see the guy who plays Diamond was doing an interview via Instagram.
His name is Tyler or something.
Yeah. Very handsome guy. Yeah. But he was saying...
He's on the Half and Half Knock on Tuesdays, too.
We will get to that in a minute. He was saying that, you know, this demographic of audience is not separating reality from fiction. So, like, for example, the Mississippi character, the young lady who is a gorgeous young lady, was receiving, like, death threats because she held a gun up to, you know, like, people are really invested in the show. And he was like, you know, that's not fair. Mm-hmm. She's a great actress to make you believe that these people were real. However, the person that she is, and I forget her name in particularly, but the person that she is does not deserve to receive death threats because her character held a gun to my character. Like, he was very, very protective of, you know, the show's characters and actors.
Yeah. I was just like, you know, that I guess that is true because that whole scientific thing with Love, I can't get the name.
Lovecraft Country.
Yeah. It's just that crowd is a lot different. So, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I think that's it for the regular topics. We can go
on. All right. So, we're going to take a break and we'll be right back with the Affairs of the Heart podcast.
Hey, what's going on, Heartbeats? It's your boy, So Debonair, one half of the Affairs of the Heart podcast team. Make sure you guys are subscribed to our YouTube channel, our Facebook page, our Twitter page, or my Twitter page, So Debonair. That's Debonair with no O, because we are going live tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Again, that's 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're going live. We're going to be talking about this podcast and what you guys thought about it. If you have any questions about anything, also going to be doing a preview of a sex toy that I got, and I'll have a code for you guys if you actually want to purchase this as well. So make sure you guys tune in to our live tonight. Cannot wait to talk to you guys. It's going to be a fun time. So make sure, again, you are subscribed to our Facebook, Twitter, or our YouTube channels, and we will see you tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and see you then. All right, I'm out. Bye.
Yo, I don't think we should talk about this.
Come on, why not?
People might misunderstand what we're trying to say, you know? But that's a part of it.
And so we're going to go right into our sex topic.
Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that may be. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex.
What you got, Aaron?
I don't know what I have. Let me look what I have.
No. No. He wasn't ready. He wasn't ready.
So, have you ever had sex so good you lost control of your emotions?
I personally haven't. I have had some very high emotional sexual encounters, but not to the point where I've lost, like I haven't cried or anything like that.
I've never really had that issue before. The just wanted to know if that ever happened to you.
Okay. Thank you.
I will say that, I guess it's confined to some, what I wanted to talk about. So, we had sex for the first time this weekend. And for me, it isn't emotional to the point like I'm in tears, but, or like, you know, it just puts me in a different space when it comes to the relationship. Especially when we've kind of already been intimate in other ways. Mm-hmm. That, when that did happen, it kind of changes my, the way that I think about, you know, life when it comes to me and this individual. After we've had sex, we've already had certain conversations and we've already built a certain type of bond.
So it just made it stronger as opposed to putting you in the headspace that you're normally used to being in when it comes to having sex with someone.
Yeah, it's almost like, you know, when the girls try to be saving themselves for marriage because it's special, or they try to spend a special time for it to make it more meaningful than we just fucked.
So that's what happened?
Well, we didn't actually plan that.
Okay.
But technically, I mean, that's what happened.
Okay.
But, you know, it definitely changed a lot of things for me.
So, what do you think?
If we don't go nowhere, I'm trying to go nowhere no time soon. So I'm just playing.
Guess it was good. Okay.
It was definitely good. What do you think would happen? Or have you ever experienced when you liked someone and then you had sex with them and it was bad?
Ooh, yeah. I stopped talking to people. I know that's terrible. I stopped talking to people after. Like, in my past, I stopped talking to people after that.
Even if, like, you were, like, really romantically interested in them?
Yeah. Yeah. It just didn't.
I would probably, like, try to do it, like, a few times to see if, like, this was a bad time.
You know what, you? And, like, trying to explain to people how to please you sexually is also, I think we need to normalize that as well.
I won't do that.
You won't do that? Mm-hmm. Why?
Because, one, I feel like you're not going to be authentically doing it the way you want to do it. Like, I feel like if we're having sex, we need to authentically have sex together the way we like to have sex. Because if I'm teaching you how to do it versus something that you already know how to do, then, or something that you already like to do, then it just won't, I don't think the compassion will be there.
Well, no.
I think if we have a mutual sexual experience together, let's say it was just like, it was good. It wasn't like, damn, nigga, oh, damn. But it's like, but it was just good, but I can teach some other things. I think that's okay. But if it's like, bro, like, no.
Let me tell you something, sweetheart. I don't understand. I don't know how y'all do shit where you from, but let me tell you something. Where I'm from, we don't do shit like that.
You only got me like a one and done. Like, I need to know. We can't do this again.
Oh. Hell no.
So they're just out. That's it.
That's it. It's a wrap.
I think that if you have establish some type of foundation on other areas or aspects, I think it would be decent for you to say, push this button instead of pushing that button, or go this way instead of going that way. But I do agree with you that it will get a little monotonous after a while if you continuously have to explain how to be pleased. But, and it's different for guys. Like, some women can do that. Like, women are, all women are different. They don't, right. You know, you can't lick the clitoris and move your finger this way and move it that way and then all women come at the same time. Like, some people like it different in different aspects or manners. And I think it's the same with men, but our sex is probably a little bit more simplified than, you know, because we can't.
Well, I will say this. A lot, I love getting my ass beat, but
we know.
But some people, I would rather them not do it.
Yeah.
And I think I posted it on my Twitter page the other day. I'm like, when you do it, and make sure you actually put the tongue in the asshole. Like, let's not just do the rim thing that the white folks be doing. That's definitely not the experience that I'm looking for.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's been so many different type of ways that I like it that if it just isn't done right and I can't, that I will try to show you. I ain't gonna, that I will
okay,
try to show you.
Okay.
But everything else has to be on point. But if we can't get that together, then sorry to this man.
And I'm probably gonna get some flack for this, but I'm sorry to this man. I don't know him.
If I saw him on the street, I wouldn't even know. I wouldn't know a thing. Okay, so the next one is, do you consider watching porn a form of cheating? Why or why not?
So, this is interesting. Like, we've had this conversation in my relationship, right? Okay. And for both of us, we agree that we don't have a problem with it. Like, if you're, you know, over to the side watching what you got to watch to get yourself together, you know, or if I'm not around and you need to rub one out, do what you got to do. Like, I think for us, it's not a hindrance. It's not, and it allows us to be who we are, right? I think that, you know, when you try to get into the thick of things of changing someone, now, the difference is we're not looking for other people to satisfy us in that aspect, but we're doing what we've always done, you know, in the past, which is if that's going to get us to where we need to get to, you know, and I'm not around, or even if I am around and you just feel like you need to do what you got to do, then it's cool.
Yeah, I just, for me, I got to figure out what we're talking about because people's texting me, are we doing this? Porn. I don't consider it cheating, but I don't want you to be excessively watching porn either. Like, with my first relationship, I felt like we didn't watch anything but porn.
All the time?
Like, I'm in my sleep, I hear it on the phone, it's on my laptop, it's on the TV, like, it was just...
That's a bit excessive. Yeah,
and I'm just like, that's probably one of the other reasons why I really don't even watch porn to this day because I'm just so over it. But if you're having, you're doing more porn than you're doing me, that would be an issue for me.
Yeah, I'll share a story because, you know, I don't like to talk about personal stuff, but I will because this is me. We were on vacation recently, and we had just gotten to the place that we were staying, and, you know, we had been there for one full day, and I think, you know, the emotions and adrenaline was real high about going on vacation and being together or what have you, and he ended up falling asleep, and he's not someone that doesn't really, he doesn't sleep well to begin with, like, he's always up, but that's because he does a lot of international flights, so he's used to working at night and sleeping during the day. So for the one instance, the one case, we're on vacation, first night on vacation, and it's, you know, it's nighttime for all intents and purposes, and he goes to sleep. So I was like, you know what, I'm not gonna wake him up, I'll just go do what I gotta do and let him get some rest. Well, it didn't pan out like that, so to speak. He kind of caught me in the middle of the situation, and initially he thought that something was wrong. So then that created kind of this kind of tension. And so he was like, hey, you know, can we talk? And we talked it out. And I said, the only reason I didn't wake you up is because I knew that you don't sleep to begin with. And I figured I'd rather let you sleep and we can do stuff later on because we're here for how many ever days. But I think, again, in the case of the watching porn situation, I just did what I had to do what I needed to do, and that was it. So I think it's how you perceive it.
I don't think I've ever seen it. I've never seen watch porn before.
You don't, I mean, but you don't watch porn.
No, so I don't think I've ever seen him watch porn.
Oh, well, some people have different perspectives of it. Some people don't want to talk about it. Some people are ashamed of it. About that. Right? Damn.
Like, I'm listening to this on Thursday, I mean, tomorrow, like, do you watch porn?
Here we go. What you won't have him do is hating me because we done had the conversation on the podcast, and then you're going to bring him into your relationship.
All right, so the last topic that we have is, have you ever nutted in someone and then you told them that you did not come? Kind of like, oh yeah, that you did not come. I've done this before. Especially if I'm topping and it was good. Because if it's, for me, if I'm topping you and I like it, it's because I'm extremely attracted to you. It don't take me that long. Mm. So I will do it and then just keep going.
Yeah, I probably have, and I'm quite sure people were mad, but in the actual moment, I don't think they were mad.
I'm not really, I mean, maybe because we're older. I never see why that's a problem.
A lot of people don't.
I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I don't. I'm not trying to sway no one. I'm not trying to say, yeah, do it.
Let him come in here. That's fine.
Come on. In the room.
Right. You know what's funny? I like to see like young pregnant girls sometimes, and I'll just walk past them, and I'll be like, you let that nigga nut all in you. Nasty bastard. But, I mean, sure. Why not?
Well, I think that's it for this episode. Make sure you guys are make sure you guys are following us on all social media. It's ALTH Podcast on Twitter, The Affairs at Heart on Instagram, and Affairs at Heart on Facebook. Make sure you log on to theaffairsatheartpodcast.com. Follow me on at So Debonair. That's Debonair with no O on all social media. Also for your website graphic needs, make sure you check out akocreations.com. Dwayne.
Or you can find me on Instagram at Dwayne Q, or on Twitter at Dwayne Q as well, or Facebook. And you can check out my multimedia production and event management company, Swank Arts and Entertainment, on Instagram at Swank Arts ENT. Or you can check out our brand new website, swankartsent.com.
That it?
That's it. That's that on that.
That's that on that. We out.
Later.
Bye.